At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Welcome one and all to Knife Talk, the number one knife talk for anybody interested in knives, whether you're a maker, collector, DIY, or whatever you are. Hosted by myself, Craig Lockett of Chop Knives, Jeff Fader of Fader Knives, and Barefoot Malmasi, who isn't with us again today. He's back tomorrow, so next week he will be back on the show. We hope you're having a good time, Areco.
Did you call him Barefoot Malmasi?
Barefoot.
Oh, Barefoot.
Barefoot Malmasi.
I was like, man, that's not so bad either. He's having a good old time. He's going up and down the Pacific Coast Highway, and he's seeing all sorts of makers, and I'm looking forward to hearing his exploits.
Yeah, I've been following along on Instagram, and it looks as if he's having a great time. He's going to some great places as well.
Rick Hall, nice. Mike Quisenberry, Yard Officerie. Who else?
Nice. Funnily enough, I'm following his wife, so I'm seeing her around swimming pools and in the sun and that kind of thing while he's off doing work.
That's the move. She's the smart one. He's sitting around in the hot sun with his Banff apron on, sweating it away. But, you know, that's how he does, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's certainly having a better week of it than I've had, and I believe what you've had.
Oh, really?
Well.
You think so?
It's been a week.
What a shit house of a week, I'd say.
Yeah. So, welcome to this week's therapy session with me, Craig Lockwood, and Jeff Fader.
This is going to be dueling miserable weeks.
We got to try hard to keep energy up or something this week because it could easily spiral.
Well,
I
got plenty of stories and we got some jokes around. We're going to try to joke it up, but we might as well just lay it all out there, Craig. How the fuck was your horrid week?
Okay. So it started not long after the show last week. One of the twins just being sick. They aren't sick kids, but literally physically thrown up everywhere. And I was like, oh, geez. Oh, no. Then the next night, the other one did. And I was like, okay, well, this is clearly something now. What's going on? So we all did COVID tests. We all come back as negative, but the baby, who's 15 weeks old, come back as positive. At the time, he was fine. We woke up the next day after another night of no sleep because the twins are throwing up all through the night. But they were still testing negative. But the baby who tested positive the day before, we woke up and he was having problems breathing, wheezing, coughing like a 60 smoker a day. You know, it was terrible. He's obviously in pain, so he's crying. He's pale. So there's obviously doctor's visits, hospital visits. And now my wife is sick and literally throwing up and shivering. But again, she's testing negative. But I think what we can say from this is the fact that the baby has tested positive and we're all sick. I think we've all caught it, really. You
right.
know? But we're just, for some reason, we're testing negative. But.
How do they treat a 15-week-old with COVID?
Yeah, it's horrible. So he's got almost like it's almost like an asthma pump to help open up. First of all, they thought it was like a bronchial infection, you know, of his lungs, that kind of thing. But it's only when we tested, he was like, oh, well, no, it's more than that. So it's basically like an asthma pump, but he's got like a face mask that you need to put on him first, and the asthma pump fits through this small hole. And it's horrible because he hates it because he thinks, you know, he can't breathe. He's like, oh, what the hell's going on? And you've got to keep it on him for so long. It's horrible. It's traumatic every time. We need to do that 3 times a day. And each time it ends up in tears for all of us. It's horrible. But he's looking a lot brighter today, thankfully. He's got a bit of colour back. He's not coughing so much. And he's actually smiling a bit. So I think things are on the up. But the twins are still thrown up every night.
Every night?
And they're fine through the day, absolutely fine. They're eating normally, they're happy, they don't seem to have any headaches or anything. But when they go to bed, they're throwing up, and it's like, oh.
Is it possible that it's your cooking?
Well.
Bolognese all the time. You never know with these kids.
There is a story to this week's cooking, actually, because we weren't expecting this, so we hadn't stocked up, right. Pre-pandemic, I think everybody was stocking up thinking this could happen to us. Let's make sure we've relaxed ourselves a bit. So we didn't have much in. So we've signed up to all these like Hello Freshes and all these, I think they're Blue Plate, they call them in the US. So we have been eating different stuff this week as well. But the kids are enjoying it and they're not being sick after the food. It's literally through the night time.
I'm just kidding. Clearly, I'm not blaming you for that. I mean, however, my sister used to throw up every time she'd leave the house when she'd come over for dinner every so often because my dad's cooking was so rich that she just used to pull over the side of the road and barf.
Oh, geez.
So we'd always make jokes about that. She was not bulimic.
We've been on a bit of a mission to basically not waste food because the last couple of weeks, the sun's been shining, we've had visitors, so any of the sort of shopping that we've got in, we've just been out eating and it's all gone to waste. We're like, right, everybody's gone home now, so we're just going to try and eat as well as we can and not leave any sort of waste. But then this happens, so we've got all these, these HelloFreshes and stuff coming. And to be honest, they're great because everything comes. This sounds like an ad, I believe. Believe me, it's not. But everything, I'm sure you've seen that. Everything comes in pre-weighed packaging, and everything's, it's super easy to do. So yeah, they're really good. But my wife's on this big thing that no waste in the house. And we're like, okay.
It's good. I mean, it's hard. It's hard to do, but
with kids as well, but no, everybody's, as I said, the baby's on the mend, which was our biggest worry because being that young, there's not much you can do for them. And there's a couple of times through the night where like, do we need to do a big hospital dash now and get them on a respirator? And it was touch and go a few times, whether we needed to do that. But he's brighter today. Yeah, we've all just been going a bit cabin crazy as well.
I can imagine.
All stuck in. Nobody could visit and all this kind of stuff. But I managed to slip out this morning for a few hours.
What did you buy?
I bought a new guitar. Oh. Well, actually, a very old guitar, which this guy has been keeping for a while for me. And it's just like, you're going to have it or not. And I'm like, oh, so I had to pop out this morning and get that. So I've had a bit of a break from everybody today. And I've come back and my wife is climbing the walls. And the kids are, they've had enough of painting. They've had enough of watching TV and all, it's just hard. But, I feel as if I'm doing this every week at the moment. I'm just like, oh, life is hard. But it fucking is at the moment. It's really hard. And because we've been at home, we've been sucked into looking at, watching the news and stuff. And I've let it get to me, particularly, the big news in the States this week and that kind of thing. It's just really got to me. And I'm thinking, humans are fucking terrible things. And, so I've been looking forward to the show today. Hopefully we can raise our spirits a bit as well.
Well, before we raise our spirits, I'd like to drop them down a few more pegs, if you don't mind. I mean, number one, number one, what's going on in the world is not fantastic, and what's going on in the United States is not fantastic. It hasn't been fantastic in a long, long time.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of believe that a lot of I'm not talking politics. Don't worry about it. Listen, all you podcasters who say we're not going to talk politics. It's because you're too stupid to talk politics. So we're not going to do it because I'm too stupid to talk politics. And that's really what it comes down to. I hear a lot of podcasters be like, well, I don't want to talk about politics, as if you can.
Yeah.
It's no point. Yeah. I mean, we're not equipped
and
we're not going to add to
it. Yeah. It's life, and it affects us. But we try not to put, political stuff out there and stuff. But it does affect us, and I think that does, show in the show as well.
Now, if we could talk about it in a nuanced way, that would be a little bit more, thoughtful, and our listeners could be a little bit more thoughtful, then maybe we would do it. But it's just like, this is just no point. It's just, we're too stupid, and our listeners are too stupid. So it's like,
I would say, okay,
I mean, I'm not taking it back what I just said. We're not all capable of having a conversation where people just don't get mad at each other and yell. So let's just knock it
off. Are looking to be offended by things. Why put the bait out there?
Recreational outrage is not for me. I mean, I like the easy shit, you know, like, knives aren't art. That's easy. You know, it's no one really gives a shit. And you start talking about abortion, all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, what are we doing here?
Agreed.
Well,
agreed.
I had a fucking horrid week too, to be honest with you.
Tell us all, Jeff.
Let's just get it out here. But there is a funny story that I'd like you to not... I'd like you to laugh at when I tell you the story and not be too English. I want you to know that I'm giving you carte blanche to laugh at this particular story.
Okay.
So I've been talking about how during the pandemic I kind of took care of my mother and I like made sure that she got groceries and I actually was delivering her groceries with COVID and I was double protecting her and she never had COVID the whole time. And then we started to notice that there was she needed more help and we moved her into a place a couple of years ago that was a little bit more of senior living. They made food and it was a little bit more kind of like checking in on her and a little bit more helpful, but it wasn't like it was not a nursing home or something like that.
Yeah.
Through the years, it's become, she's becoming a little bit more difficult and she's very sweet and loving and I love my mother, but it's like, you know, so, and then on top of all that, you know, stuff, it's like, you know, she hasn't really wanted to, you know, I've got to stop saying, you know, but she hasn't really wanted to take her meds or there's been all issues.
Yeah.
So I finally got like a couple of weeks ago, I got reamed out by the building and they basically said that if
reamed out, that's a horrible phrase.
Well, I mean, it's not like, they laced me. I got laced by the building. Okay. And they said if she doesn't get home aides that she's not going to be welcome there anymore. So it took a long time to get her have health aides, not health aides, but like nurses, but people to help her with simple things around her apartment, keeping it clean, keeping herself clean, blah, blah, blah. So finally, after like months of trying to figure out if, you know, she finally was accepting and I had to, you know, drop the hammer on her and say, look, if you don't have if these people don't come in, you're going to be out of this nice apartment. And it was a long time coming. And so the first day the home health aide comes within the first 2 hours and I prepared her, I was like, be nice to this woman and this is what she's going to do. And da, 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 da. The first 2 hours she's there, they already call the ambulance. My mother was dizzy and they called the ambulance. So then they called me and I ran to the hospital. My mother was put in the ER. Mm. Her blood sugar was not, I'm not going to go into her health issues, but things were not great. And apparently she had a few other things that we didn't know about. Apparently she had had a stroke. They don't know when. But, like, it wasn't recent. And there were other things, and you know, it was just very clear. It was tough. The whole thing was tough. Luckily for me, the hospital in this area is very good. It's close by, and I felt very confident. But I had to, like, rush around. We had to hire a social worker, and we had to kind of make plans on what we're going to do with her. And, the way they work is it was a whole big production, and it was like, I had to kind of have short-term plans and long-term plans. I had to plan Plan B and Plan C, and all of a sudden Plan C looked better than Plan A, and it was just a lot of hustling around, right? And it was
So your mother living in the basement, is that Plan A or Z? Or, you know, on the spectrum, how close is it to either?
My mother living in our house is Plan not going to happen.
Plan Z then, okay.
There's not an alphabet long enough. to get that. It's just not happening. You just can't. So I'm going in and I'm talking to the doctors and they're telling me, giving me a litany of all these this and that and the other thing. And it's pretty overwhelming. And we're dealing with a social worker who's going to help us with Medicaid. I'm not going to explain the whole thing, but Medicaid, Medicare, and all this bullshit.
Yeah.
And $200 an hour later, it's like, you know, what are you going to do? What's all we can do? And I'm talking to my mother and I just said to her, you know, they told me, you know, we'd have her at another doctor and the doctor said that she's got dementia. So I'm talking to my mother, and I'm just kind of like easing her into the fact that she might not be ending up in her apartment much longer. She might need more help. And I'm trying to be nice, and I'm trying to be, you know, just ease it in, so to speak. Don't say that's what she said, okay? This is, I'm talking about my mother. Thank you very much. So I said to my mom, I said, look, Mom, you know, I just want you to be prepared for the fact that I'm working with the doctors and the social workers and try to get you the best situation possible and where you're healthy and you're happy and blah, blah, blah. But you're going to have to be understanding. You know, you might not be in your apartment much longer. Why? And I said, well, and now I'm going to tell you the story. I'm going to tell you the story, and then I'm giving you permission to laugh. I was kind of, throughout this, I talked to her. She's got two brothers. One of them passed away about 12 years ago from cancer. And I called her husband, his widow. Just let her know and what was going on. And she said, I just want you to know that I had a conversation with her, you know, 6 months ago. And she said some things that were disturbing to me. And I said, well, what do you mean disturbing? She said, well, she asked me how my husband was. And her brother, my mother's brother, who had died.
Yes.
And she said that was very upsetting. And I said, I'm very sorry. You know, I understand. And that must have been very upsetting. And I'm listening. And I'm talking to her. I talked to her other brother. I talked to the closest people in our family to her. So I took, you know, when my aunt told me about what my mother said about her brother, it was just like upsetting. So I'm talking to my mom, and I'm explaining to her, like, you know, look, there are these things that are going on. And I said, you know, your health isn't great. You need help with, you know, the basic stuff. I said, the doctor just said that you had a stroke. So, I mean, that's big, and you have dementia. And she goes, well, you didn't have to say that. And I said, well, it's true. And she goes, well, how do you know I have dementia? And I said, Mom, you talked to your sister-in-law and asked her how your brother was. Your brother's been dead for 12 years. Oh. And she goes, he died?
That was the best part
because it was just like that. Like that was he died, and I was like, "Fucking, that's fantastic." I mean, that it sounds terrible, but at the same time, it's like you want to do gallows humor. I mean, that shit is funny.
Jeez.
So I mean, it's funny because
you have to explain to it. Oh,
yeah.
No.
So like, you know, that's that, and she's now in the hospital. She's been in the hospital all week, and we're going to get her into a rehabilitation center that's going to help her kind of with her walking and help her with some other things. She's got some things that need to be taken care of before she gets back. And we're lining up all this stuff, and we're draining, you know, our bank accounts, and we're going to take care of this, and we're going to do what's right. And it's not pretty, and that's the way it is. But, I'll tell you the takeaway. The takeaway is, and this is a lot of our listeners are younger than me. I'll say younger than me. I'm not going to say younger than you. You motherfuckers better start taking care of yourselves, your health. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because there's a very, very good chance you're going to be a burden to someone. There's a very, very good chance. And the other thing is you're going to find that the older you get and the doctor's going to tell you have to make drastic changes when the damage is done. I started making changes to my diet when I was 30 because I had my cholesterol was real high, and my doctor gave me fritz about it, and I, out of spite, I dropped my cholesterol, and I did a kind of like a vegetarian diet, and I dropped my cholesterol, and I got it good. I really kind of started, you know, changing my diet when I was 30, and now I'm fucking fighting weight. I got my blood back. I'm a monster. However, speaking of inheritance, I'm inheriting pre-diabetes from my one side of the family, a cancer from the other side of the family.
Glaucoma.
I'm like, that's my inheritance. It's going to be like goddamn my fucking genetics. So I'm telling you all, if you're listening to this podcast and you're sitting there with that fucking cheesesteak in your mouth and you're drinking your beers and you got if you're looking down straight to your toes and you see stomach before your dick, you got a problem. you got a fucking problem, and you better change this shit now. Because you're going to be a burden to someone. I'm telling you. And that's
it.
Don't
be a burden. Okay.
Don't be a fucking burden. Don't be a burden to someone.
Let's lighten the mood a bit. Can we talk about the video that you sent me this week? Is that gone public yet?
It has not gone public, but we can talk about it for sure.
Oh, okay.
For sure.
Okay. Well, first of all, let's do this because there's a bit of a link.
Knife Talk is sponsored by Evenheat, the manufacturers of the finest heat treat ovens available. To find your next oven, go to evenheat-kiln.com.
And you know what? Go to knifetalk.net/heat instead, because that will take you to soulceramics.com, who are a distributor of Even Heat. They've got some in stock, ready to ship tomorrow. Ready to ship tomorrow with $75 off and free shipping in the US. So that's Soul Ceramics, and the best way to get that discount is to go to knifetalk.net/heat, and we put that description in the link. So I put that in on purpose because it was an Even Heat ad, and you've been using your Even Heat this week to do something unconventional, haven't you, Jeff?
I have. I did a video that I don't know. We have to coordinate it with. See, some of the people who do content, they don't coordinate their content with something to buy. So we're about to launch the new Neptune Sunrise, a hinge cracker oyster knife, and I had a video made. And Tony and I and Allison were talking about, by the way, Allison loves Knife Talk. Allison sends me messages, brilliant. Loves Knife Talk. I think that she liked the guy with the dick coming out of his arm the most. That was a fucking, she said, that was really funny. So shout out to Allison. AZ's the best. So we were talking in one meeting and they were, I was saying, you know, it'd be fun if we could do some sort of content, and we're trying to do more like food related relationships to the products we're making. So yeah. I had this idea to do, let's just do a demo on how to open oysters, and we'll make that oyster dish, that charbroiled oyster dish I did. And I said, it'll be fun to do it. And I had plates made a year or so ago. Chris Zeppieri made me these plates, and I put these steel plates with the exact size of a sizzle platter, which is a cooking platter. And it was the exact size and fit into the Even Heat. And I said, let's heat the plate up to 1500 degrees, and then we'll put the plate over the sizzle platter with food on top of it, and we'll cook it in the shop. So we did that a year or so ago with Chef Charlie Palmer, and it was awesome. And I thought, let's do it again with the oysters, because the oysters are so. We had a video. My friend Fred came in, who's a video guy, and I told him what we did. I told him what we were going to do. I really kind of organized how it should kind of look, and I streamlined it. So it was only 2 hours of filming, which was just about an hour more than I could handle, I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And I did a demo on shucking oysters with the oyster knife.
Did the trademark pink shirt come out, which is your media shirt?
The fucking shirt from Epicurious? Yeah. No. You know what? I hate that guy. That shirt sits in my closet. That fucking shirt. They had, when I did Epicurious, they had me bring in a couple shirts, and they ticked that one. That would be a great shirt if I didn't wear it on that goddamn YouTube video. And I see it in the closet all the time, and I think, maybe I should wear that. And I think, you're not wearing that ever again. So it's just going to fucking sit there. So, no, I was wearing the Fader. I was, you know, in sales pitch mode. So I was wearing a Fader Knives t-shirt. And we did this great video, and I shucked 12 oysters. And we did it twice just to have extra footage. And we cooked the oysters. And the cool part was the videographer, Fred, he said, I don't like oysters. I said, you try these. I said, you just give me a try with these. You try these oysters. I think I'm going to change your mind. And he tried them, and he was like, these are really, really good.
Mm. So I did the same with my father-in-law at Christmas. He was like, I don't like oysters. And I was like, honestly, try these. And he loves them.
Anything in garlic, butter, and Parmesan cheese, yeah. And that saltiness from the oysters, it was, I mean, it's just like a knock them dead, change your mind about everything dish. So we did it. It's great. The funny thing is I sent it to Allison and Tony was like, this is awesome. We have to do more of this. And I'm thinking, oh, God. I literally, Fred's great, but if I didn't organize exactly how this was going to be, he would have been here all day, you know?
It could be a six-hour shoot,
The only thing we were waiting for was for the Even Heat to heat. I was so organized in regards to in terms of what shots I thought we needed to get, and he was on board with me completely. It was the hardest part was waiting for the oven to go from 0 to 1500 degrees. But still.
Was it one shot then? Did you just do everything just in that one?
We did it twice. We did it twice. I did it with six oysters and then did it with another six oysters just to kind of like make sure we had the shots right. Yeah. But I tell you what, my system for opening oysters was perfect. And it was perfect, and I opened every single one up without any problems. There's a real issue that people have with opening oysters. They think you're supposed to jam the oyster into the hinge and push it open, and that's not what you're supposed to do.
It's a twist.
You're supposed to get it in a little bit and then wiggle it. So if
you
just.
That's what she said. There we go.
My man. That's the correct time, not when I'm talking about my mother. So you put it in a little bit, and then you twist a little bit, and then it pops open. But if you people just go fucking nuts, and then that's how they drive it in their hand. And the funny thing is I wrote the newsletter. The newsletter is so fucking out of line. I was such in a weird mood from visiting my mother in the hospital that I was just like, I'm just going to be out of line. And it's so fucking out of line. And I sent it to Allison and Tony, and they're just like, This is it. So the newsletters are getting fucking, they're starting to get raunchy. So if you want to get on the Fader Knives newsletter and get this thing, I sent it to my kid. My kid's like, Jesus Christ, Dad, you run a business? And I sent it to my wife, and my wife was just like, wow, I can't believe you wrote that. But it's good. It's well written and it's funny, but it's like, you know, any corporate
shit.
That's
what you'd need. Nobody wants corporate bullshit in that inbox. That's what you need.
I'm getting so much, like, nice messages about the fucking newsletter because it's just, like, it's funny. It's just some funny shit. So,
yeah.
So while we're waiting for the new, they're going to, Tony and Allison are getting the newsletter squared away, and then we get it up on the website, and then I'll kind of coordinate the video with, you know, being able to sell something. It's just stupid. It's stupid to kind of, like, put it up without there being, like, a payoff.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Instead of a coming soon, it's like buy right now. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And
yeah,
then,
yeah,
you know, we got, I'm just about to finish all the June orders this week with David. David's helping me out. And look, we're onward. And I'm getting ready to go to Barcelona. So,
look, yeah, at me. When is that? What date is that?
It's the, I think, the 22nd of July.
July, right.
And we're gonna, I think so. I don't have the date ahead of me, but I have to forge some knives for we're gonna do a collaboration with Tomer, and he's excited. And I'm actually, my family just left for a week, so I'm at the shop. And after we do this, I'm actually gonna forge some hammers and do all sorts of stuff. So
nice.
How you been?
Nice.
Other than that, are you doing any making anything and any knives or? Are you too busy cleaning things up?
Nothing at all. Nothing. And in fact, it's been, I'd say, maybe 10 days since I've stepped into the shop. Honestly. We had visitors here before the sickening, as I call it, started. And yeah, it's been a while. So
you mean Typhoid Mary, when Typhoid Mary stopped by?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So we need to test the kids again on Sunday night, and we've been told by the school if they are if they're good to go, they can go back to school Monday. So that means I can go back into the shop, which is amazing. So fingers crossed. The thing is, there's no guidelines out here at the moment. Yeah. It's like, do what the fuck you... Even if you're testing positive, do what the fuck you like. So, you know, so obviously we contacted the school and said, you know, what do you advise? You know, we'd want to send them in. But there'd also be little bastards around the house, you know.
Well,
but yeah, what they said is quite fair. So leave it till Sunday, and then we'll see if that, because they tested negative the whole time. They've never tested positive. But you know, just being responsible, we thought we need to keep them home.
Everybody's so, yeah, getting it. People got it. Everyone got it. A lot of people got it at Blade Show. A lot of people got it at my college reunion. It's like, you know, it's, what are you going to do? I will give one big shout out is I was in such a sour mood. I think one of the days my mom was in the hospital, and I got a message from Brian House, our fearless announcer.
Oh, you did an episode with
him. He says, you want to fill in? I had said to him, I'm like, they were on one episode. They were talking about something. I was just like, you know, anytime you need a fill in, I'm happy to do it. I wanted to mix it up with something that they had said, I'm sure. And I forgot what it is now, but it's just like, so I put that into him, and he'd been on Full Blast a couple times, and I felt like I should, you know, avail myself if they wanted. And I said to him, like, if you ever need a fill in, let me know. So, he sends me a message. He's like, you want to come on today? Right after I get back from the hospital, I think maybe I shouldn't. I'm just like, you know what? Maybe I fucking should. And I had such a good time with Brian and B Cone. And it just cheered me right up, and we were just shooting the shit, and it was a lot of fun, and I appreciate those guys. And you know, if you're not listening to the Work For It podcast, you're making a huge mistake. They're good dudes, and they're really, you know, trying to make something good for the community, and they're doing a lot. I mean, as far as the Makery Network, I mean, they are as consistent as it gets. And oh, by the way, if you have the chance, send them the Makery Network bumper so he can put it on the website, on the shows. Okay. So,
yeah, But yeah, that is quality stuff that they do. It's professional grade stuff. You know, it sounds great.
I mean, the his audio is dynamite. His audio is dynamite. So that was that.
Okay. Boom. Cool. Okay, let's get into it. Over half an hour.
Well, I'll give you some. I have a ton to work with. We have a ton of stuff to work with. I don't know if you have to run a combat ad or something.
Let's get them out the way, shall we?
Combat a brick.
Sorry, these are our valued sponsors.
Take it away, Brian.
Get them out the way.
Combat Abrasives makes the world's best abrasive belts for knife makers. Available in any size at unbelievable prices. Go take a look at combatabrasives.com and get 15% off with promo code KNIFETALK15. Do it now.
There we go. There's one out of the way. Two out of the way, even. We got a bunch of questions. Let's just do two or three questions, then we get on to more of the fun stuff, and we'll see where we go.
Right.
How's that sound?
Whatever you want.
Let's have a look. Maritime Knife Supply. Who's the sponsor of the show? If you're a Canadian, or even if you're in the US and you want to take advantage of that dollar, go to maritimeknifesupply.com because they've got everything you could possibly need. They sell combat abrasives, they sell DASA stuff, they sell everything you need. Go take a look, maritimeknifesupply.com. And he's come with a question. Sleep or work? You can't have both. They balance each other, don't they, I think? If you're only sleeping and not working, you won't be happy. If you're only working and not sleeping, you're not going to be doing good work. So I think it needs to be a healthy balance of either. I think that out of us two, I think we're both on the extreme ends of both scales.
Most likely, yeah.
Yeah, so I think meeting in the middle would probably be the way to go. But you need to be healthy to work well. And also if you're not working, it's not healthy. It's not healthy on your mind. Yeah, a balance of both, and for everybody, it's going to be a different level of each. You know, dial it in. But yeah, you can't do one without the other, I think.
I love working so hard that I just fall asleep. That's my favorite. Like, I hate, like, I don't, on like a vacation, I really don't like napping because I always wake up, and as soon as I wake up from a nap, when I wake up from regular sleep, I'm not hungry. When I wake up for a nap, it's like I've never eaten. You know, it's crazy. I get fucking famished, and I don't understand it. And it's like I'm just cranky. I'm a total asshole for a while after I've taken a nap, but I'm starving. I'm like fucking crushing whatever's in the refrigerator. It's like weird. I don't like napping, to be honest with you.
I hate nap. I feel terrible after a nap. I feel like almost hungover. Yeah. You know, you wake up and you're just a bit sort of woozy, a bit, ugh.
Even in that hammock,
my wife,
you don't like to...
My wife, if there's a spare 10 minutes, if we go out in the car for 10 minutes, you'll sleep 5 minutes of that and be absolutely fine when she wakes up, as if she hadn't. But no, I can't do it. I can't do it at all.
I mean, it feels good to nap, but it's like the ramifications of napping. And then the other thing is if you've napped too long, your significant other just like looks at you like you're just a piece of shit, especially if you've taken like a 2 hour nap and then you're like, what's going on? And I don't, where's my this? And I don't know what happened here. Why do I have to do it? And she's looking at you fucking just being such an asshole. And you've had a fucking 2 hour nap. I don't do it.
The guilt isn't worth it.
I don't do it.
Yeah.
I like to wake up early too. I resent waking up early, but I do it. What was it going to... Oh, yes, that was it. Yeah. So I think I like work over sleep, but I do like sleep when it's good. Yeah,
you sounded confused then. I think you may need to sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey Bays.
Jeffrey, no, I was going to tell you something then. You sounded a bit confused. I'll say, Jeffrey, I'm sorry, your uncle has passed. But that's a terrible
thing. Well, it would be funny if I had said, he had? I'll tell you what. You know what made it.
I'll remind you every time.
So just to let you know, I told her living brother that story, and he laughed. And then I told the widow that story. I got nothing, and I got fucking nothing. And I
too soon? It's been 15 years.
I mean, I'm thinking the same thing. He's been dead 15 years. Can't no jokes? Do we have no jokes? I put the fun in funeral, for Christ's sakes. Come on. I mean, so I came up with, so you'll see in the newsletter, I have a quote, and this quote was, this quote, my favorite quote is, you got to swing at pitches, which is I told horrible jokes to people. I told you the story about what I said to my grandmother years ago, right?
Yes, I think so.
She looked like a giant. You have to look. I said something horrendous to my grandmother. You're going to have to go back to the archives. I ain't telling it again, but I basically referred to her. I thought she was wearing a pink poncho, and I thought that she looked like, you know, I rolled a condom over her. And I might have said something about like that. I thought I was being clever, and I got fucking laced. And I thought, you know what? And then I told my dad the story. He thought it was hilarious. And I thought, fuck it. I'm swinging at pitches. So you got always swing at pitches.
Yeah.
So.
Makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense. Jeffrey Bays has asked a question.
Do you want to do this one? Jeffrey Bays says, hey, guys, question. Where is everyone getting their handle material from? I see people with these big pieces of black wood or ironwood or stabilized pieces, and I can only ever find standard blocks or scales. Is there some membership thing where you got to do weird stuff to get in? Because I might.
Oh, the secret society of handle materials. Don't you know, Jeffrey?
Jeffrey Bays, I got to tell you something. God bless you for spelling. You're in my group with the GEOFF, the fucking
Jeffrey.
Our poor fucking small group of foolishly spelled names. It's like, I mean, what you have to deal with, what I have to deal with. It's not the worst thing in the world, but it's like, I got it. That is the number one reason why it's one of the reasons why I go to Blade Show, because being able to see stuff in your hands is so different from seeing it online. I've totally bought stuff online that it is just not the same as when it shows up. So I would highly suggest going to knife events, going to events and seeing them and getting your hands on. I mean, those are the guys who do great, great business, is because once again, you can get G10. I know what Royal Blue G10 looks like. I know what orange looks like, but I mean that those burls, it's just the color just does not translate.
Yeah. Yeah. And we all know the trick, you know, they spray them with some water first, you know, get them popping in the pictures, and when they arrive at you, they're like, oh, wow.
Yeah. But
not quite the same. But, yeah, I mean, I generally don't use many sort of natural woods, mainly because I can't get them here. So I use somewhere called Mercon, which is mercon.fr in France. They're a big handle supplier. I'm not sure where you're from, Jeffrey. I assume the US, but if you are in Europe, Mercon or Ground Flat Supplies, I think, GFS. David there always got really nice handle material, so take a look there as well. And they ship worldwide as well, so worth looking. But, yeah, with regards to blackwood and ironwoods, I don't really buy it myself, so I don't know.
There's an Instagram page called Rockin' Blocks. And they have really nice hand. And I know people who work with them. And I know he's doing right now. Rockin' Blocks is doing a lot of Hawaiian koa and stuff, and stuff that's stabilized at K&G. He's working with lots of colors with Neil Kamamura. And there are guys who do a really great job with wood. You can find yourself a relationship with some of these guys. And that's the best. I know that I get some hybrid stuff from AK Designs. Those guys do a great job. And who's the guy who does the... There's some handle scales that I've been buying a pile of, and I just forgot the guy's name. I'm so stupid. I'm sorry.
I'm so confused again.
But it's like, you know...
Jeff, I hate to tell you this, Jeff.
What?
Your uncle. He's no longer with us.
What? How long has it been? This is a terrible joke, dude.
This can't go on. I'm sorry.
I'm not mad about it, but I mean, it's just like, I got a hot under the collar here, making me sound bad. None of my family listen to this, but you know, that doesn't mean.
This doesn't mean it's not in poor taste. Well, okay. I'm going to tell everybody about TexasFireSupply.com anyway. Down there in the south, everything that you need as a knife maker or farrier, obviously. But they sell Indasa as well, which is the, you know, the sandpaper of choice, the secret society of sandpaper artists. I'm sure they would use Indasa Rhinoet. TexasFireSupply.com, sell it all. Anything else that you need as a knife maker as well. If you use Knife Talk 10, you'll get 10% off the whole order as well. So take a look, TexasFireSupply.com. And once again, that will be in the description of this show too.
Rob's Wildwood does all the fruity scales I like, all the double-dyed stuff. Rob's Wildwood has awesome handle scales. Awesome handle scales.
Yeah. Cool. Shall we move on from questions?
Whatever you want. Here's what we got. We got hot takes. We have great tough dilemmas. We have tons of unsolicited advice this week.
Let's do some of them. They're always fun.
Unsolicited advice?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one is going to be a doozy, ladies and gentlemen. Buckle up. Eric Markman. You know Eric Markman?
Yes.
He's a bad motherfucker out in the, he's a journeyman smith out in the Netherlands. He says, you know what you should do? So basically, so unsolicited advice is basically when people go into your DMs and they tell you what you should do. And it's usually like they think that they're coming up with an idea that you'll use and then they'll be able to kind of, you know, ride the wake of this great idea, and then your success is their success, is basically my opinion. So yeah. Eric Markman says, you know what you should do? You should stop doing live shop updates about nothing. Quote, this is Frank from Pussy Fart Forge just giving you a quick shop update. Future Forged and Fire failed banners in the background. Nobody cares. Just finish your stuff and post that. Not just to talk about a couple of ding pieces of steel. And use your own name or nobody will know you. Damn, Pussy Fart Forge. Mm. That's a hard move right there.
Pussy Fart Forge, the PFF.
God damn. Can you imagine if Pussy Fart Forge won all this Forge and Fire champion, Pussy Fart Forge?
That's why they don't put their names up.
Yeah,
just in case.
Yeah, come on, Eric Markman. Don't you know they can't be running into, you know, Doug Markaita can't be talking about Pussy Fart Forge? Are you crazy? All right. While Ronald Knives says, here's a you know what you should do, addressed to your listener who was talking about talking to knife makers at shows. As a maker who's exhibited at several shows in the past, so a number of episodes ago, somebody called in and just said that, you know, makers, it was tough to talk to makers at knife shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a maker who has exhibited in several shows in the past, I'm always happy to talk to people with questions about knife making, but please remember that makers at shows are trying to sell knives. Most people getting started are very respectful, but there's always one guy who insists on standing in front of your middle of your table for 45 minutes asking questions, taking up all your time, and physically and verbally getting in the way of your potential customers. Don't be that guy. That guy sucks. Stand to the side so people can look. And if someone looks like they want to buy something, let them have the maker's attention. We'll be much happier to give you our time and share our knowledge that way.
Nice.
Ronald Dives.
Good one.
There you go.
Good one.
Back up. I think that, listening to Work For It and talking and hearing of those guys talk about being at Blade Show, it is, and I've been to it twice, and that was a number of years ago. It is overwhelming, and it's a great atmosphere because you start to kind of meet the people that you're kind of talking with at Blade Show, and it's this kind of very strange environment. It's not like, I mean, these are strangers that you've never met, and you start to meet them, and next thing you know, you're talking with them, and then there are more people meeting each other than there may be buying knives at the thing, and so it just becomes very, like, socially awkward. So those are all.
So would you say there's more makers than potential customers?
No idea. I couldn't even answer that. There's so many people that go. I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, there's so many people who go to buy like the mid-tech stuff, all the like the AG Russell stuff, and not as much as him as like Spyderco. People run, Bally Song Kids and all that fucking horse shit. A lot of those types there too. If you're into Bally Songs, don't DM me. I just make a joke. Just have a sense of humor.
Those
fucking types. I have a sense of humor, Bally Song types. Just relax. Listen, my uncle just died, okay? Give me a break.
Really?
God, I feel terrible. I'm getting hot every time we make that joke. I'm getting fucking hot. Okay, Big Schmooge says, listening to the podcast, I'm a huge introvert. That's why I enjoy sitting by myself in the shop for hours. I'm just new to the craft and dreading having to do the show circuit because then I'll be forced to confront my biggest fear, public speaking, versus being able to wordsmith my response on social media. That's another one.
Yeah. That's similar to, you know, the last question as well about, you know, how to sort of treat people at shows and things like that. Yeah, and I think that's the thing, that we sort of we follow people and we think we know them, but we don't know what they're like, you know, sort of socially. And a lot of people are, you know, fucking, probably myself included, you know, socially retarded, but you have this almost persona online where it's slightly different, you know? So if you'd have to show and you see people, there's always that thing, and if you'd have to show and you see people on their own, go and invite them in and, you know, be part of your group. But a lot of people don't want that. So, you know, just treat everybody with a bit of sort of respect, yeah, and, you know, just ease your way in, as she said.
Chris Rosendahl. I'm sorry if I'm getting your name wrong, my man. I guess this is a you know what you should do, but I'll just tell my story. A wise man once told me, why the fuck would you make a tool to make a knife when you can buy the tool and know that it works properly and use that time that you would spend making the tool to make knives? Now, how many days, weeks, hours have you wasted on one tool when you should have been pushing your guts into the platen or squishing steel with that goddamn shank?
So pushing your guts into the platen.
He doesn't like it. He doesn't get it. And it's interesting. Making the tools to make tools is a fascinating conversation. Because
That's very much a blacksmith thing as
not
well.
Not necessarily. Because I know a lot of blacksmiths who are non-blacksmiths who love making their own tools. You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
I suppose if we're doing custom stuff, there's not always necessarily going to be a tool out there for you. And if it's, you know, quick to knock something up, it makes complete sense to. Yeah.
But like, there's guys like Cliff Dufton who makes his own grinders, and they're amazing. I mean, it is. They make their own hydraulic presses, and they're amazing. There's some people who enjoy. My friend Matt Paul made his own tire hammer. There are people who go take tire hammer making classes, and they make their own tire hammers. There is satisfaction in the making of your own tools. It's not money driven. And I think that once again, we fall into the trap of everything. We're nickel and diming our time and energy into something as opposed to making something for the sheer enjoyment, you know?
Yeah. Just for the sake of it. Yeah.
I mean, I'm making some hammers. I'm not planning on being a hammer maker. And when I have some time, I enjoy the process so much to where I can use that hammer that I made to make whatever I want. I'm not going to go into the hammer making business, and I have tons of hammers from great hammer makers and friends of mine.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. But I enjoy making it. I enjoy them. I don't even mind making mistakes because it makes me realize that I can do another one. I made a couple hammers recently, and I'm swinging them, and they just don't, something about it doesn't feel right. So I'm making some more this week, and it's going to be, I mean, it's just a personal journey. I just, you know, I'm enjoying that everything gets better and better and better. I like making tongs too, and I'm still not the best at it, but there's philosophical reasons behind it. Some people enjoy it. Some people nickel and dime everything, you know? And
yeah.
I'm the same way. I'm not buying it. I'm not making my own grinders. I'm not going to do that when
yeah.
I can,
yeah.
I can get a broad
back. My opinion is if I can get something better than I could make, you know, within a reasonable time scale, it makes complete sense to almost outsource that and get the better stuff in.
But if I said to you, why are you making music when you can listen to music that's already out there? I mean, it's the same thing. It's like you enjoy making music.
Yeah, it's the process, right. I suppose. And pretty much like you with the hammers, it's the process of learning and developing, getting better. Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you what I would love to do one day. I would love to make a post vise. Post vise. I've seen people forge post vise, and they're amazing. And it would be really a really great project to do. I would love to one day. I know I'm crossing my fingers that one day. Pat Quinn has an anvil making class at the Center for Metal Arts. I'm on one. We'll make my own anvil too. I would love that. That would be awesome. You know, and you know, people have satisfaction with that stuff.
Just to go into that a bit more, I'm just trying to work out what that process would be. Would it to make a mold, like a sand mold, and pour casting? Well, what would you do?
Forge. I mean, Will Stelter and Ben Snoer made a tiny anvil. They turned it, the anvil, into a hammerhead and put a hammer on. It was crazy. But it's just, you forge them. And I know that Pat did a double, did a small anvil, and it was forge welded together. There was a waist, and then there was the top part. And it's anvils are, you can forge anvils. I would have forged an anvil. I mean, I can only think to forge an anvil. I mean, obviously, if you're casting it, that's one thing. But, I mean, it's just like incising parts of steel and drawing stuff out and drawing in a taper and flattening stuff out. And that's how they used to be made, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently. By using more sustainable practices. By developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He's got the hammer. I mean, okay. At the Center for Metal Arts, they got them steam hammers that you'd be able to make. I mean, they've forged giant pieces of steel. They could, at some point, they will be at the point where they will be.
Wait there. Don't use me as a level of shitness.
I didn't say even. Did I say even you?
Even someone like you, one of your types.
You know, you should be a little bit more respectful. I'm sitting shiva for my uncle. I mean, can't you give me a break?
You're dressed in black there in the
car. Can you just give me a break? I mean, I've been through a lot with my uncle, right? Come on. God, this fucking bit is making me so uncomfortable.
So, okay, talking about people who've made their own tools, we know a bunch of knife makers who now make grinders out of necessity because they wanted something that would suit them. And it turns out it's a bloody good grinder. And you use one, day, Jeff, don't
I you? Love my Broadbeck Ironworks. And I was about to say, I'm not going to make a grinder when I have my Broadbeck. Broadbeck Ironworks makes a great grinder. And because it's less expensive, you actually kind of put it together. So then you get the chance to put your own grinder together. And it's great. It's super easy to do. It goes horizontally, vertically. The platens, all the attachments are very user-friendly and they're very intuitive. They also fit into the chassis of other grinders. And if you put in promo code KNIFETALK, you will upgrade to the Moreco platen, which is a really, really very, very useful grinder for knife makers. Now, that said, Broadbeck Ironworks makes grinders for sculptors. Leah Arapach has a Broadbeck Ironworks grinder. Keith Mitchell, who is a woodworker, has a Broadbeck Ironworks grinder. He's a woodworker. They're very versatile. They're great machines to have in your shop. And because they're so, like, all-encompassing, a small shop is perfect for a Broadbeck Ironworks grinder. And they got a sharpening system now, their new sharpening system. You want to talk about that sharpening system? Or?
Well, yeah, it's a sharpening system, basically. I think it uses 42-inch belts. And, yeah, you can get, you know, a super, super sharp edge within minutes. It's all new. Go take a look at broadbeckironworks.com and remember that promo code. But you'll see that they're not only just doing grinders. They're like sewing machines. They're basically turned into a tool company for makers. I think that's the direction they're going in. And, you know, all tried and tested stuff. So go take a look.
And if you're making leather sheaths, you're sick of using that thumb of yours driving that needle through,
yes.
Get yourself one of them leather sewing machines. Stop there playing around. So we can keep going with the unsolicited advice.
We have hot takes too.
That was good. And we have listener feedback.
Dilemmas. Okay.
I'm going to go with a couple more. Okay, so this unsolicited advice comes from Chris. Another one from Chris. No, this is Chris. This is Chris Rosendahl. This is a different Chris Rosendahl.
A different
there was
Chris,
a Chris The first one was Chris. Chris Dozendahl, and this is Chris Rosendahl. I think they're two Chris Rosendahls. Or maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Let me know. Don't let me know. I don't care. Solicit advice. Grinder water should have dishwashing liquid in it. It reduces the surface rust and lubricates the belt when you do the next pass. There you go.
Makes sense, I suppose.
The Sharp Carpenter, Rodney says, here's some unsolicited advice. Add a quarter teaspoon of sea salt, 2 tablespoons of honey, the juice of half a lemon into 1 large Nalgene bottle of water. Makes a delicious, healthy, cheap electrolyte drink. Stay hydrated and keep up the great work, gents.
I thought you were going to say to put that in your grinder water. You don't want to be putting that in your grinder water, no.
I mean,
no salt water. Yeah,
yeah. Smash It Knife says, here's a funny KTP story for you. I'm in active duty Air Force, and I have to drive through a guarded gate every day to get to work. Today, I pulled to the gate and handed my ID to the guard. Right then, Craig says on the podcast, he doesn't have his pants off just in case. Craig said, he doesn't really have his pants off. It's just in case. The gate guard looked up at me and said, really? And I laughed the rest of the day from work. Thanks, fellas. So
happy to be of service.
You did a good job, Craig. Well, that was perfect timing. Knives, Cleavers, and Axes says, I know you didn't ask, but reading your DMs while on vacation is bad for your sex life. That's a pretty good one. Yeah. Yeah.
I can imagine. Yeah. Yeah.
Noah
I
Larson.
I don't remember what a sex life is, but yeah.
Jesus Christ. You relax. Noah Larson.
Sorry. I'm sitting here in my bar, right? I've got a drink on the go. I've got an elbow up. I'm just saying, all my problems are coming out.
You know, me and my uncle, like you and Norm. Your sex life. I understand this.
Yeah. Cliffy Cleaver.
This is Cheers. This is fucking Cheers. Yeah, Cliffy. Noah Larson says, here's some unsolicited advice. Poke a small hole in a water vessel and put that on your tracking wheel spark guard for a poor man's water mister. JVB Knives Canada says, I know you didn't ask, but you know what you should do? Get an app timer for your social media so you don't waste time getting things done. So you don't waste time and get things done. Make sure to have someone else control it too. Jamie Mackey says, I know you didn't ask, but you should keep a fresh 24 grit belt in your shop to run at full speed now and then to remind yourself you're a soft sack of meat that can easily be damaged beyond repair.
Be killed at any point.
Yeah. Oh, I got
maybe loosen that tape a little
dude,
bit.
Dude, I got
well.
A fucking slice off a 36 grit belt that just flung off. That was flinging off. That was not nice. Not nice at all.
Yeah.
I got a couple more. Colber Knives says, I know you didn't ask, but when I built my new shop, I had an electrician put in a master power switch outside the switchboard cupboard. The switch cuts off almost all the circuits to my shop while making both fire and kids safe when I'm not there. As long as I flip the switch, I don't need to wonder if I remember to turn this off or that off. And the only thing that still gets power is a heating oven. It's Norway and he's cold. Thanks for the excellent show. Keep up the great work. Your shop is in your house. So have you ever had to come back to your shop because you think you left something on?
Well, it's in a separate barn to the house now where we are now. And it's on a completely separate power supply. So I can do that. I can turn everything off. As I leave, and I know that it's, you know, disconnected from the house, it's all completely independent. but, you know, there's a couple of things that I do leave running. You know, we've got a temperature controlled fridge there, which, you know, the wood and the epoxies and stuff like that are stored in, so that's always running. I think that's maybe it. I think that's the only thing that's not on that circuit, where literally one switch, everything goes off as I leave, knowing that everything's, you know, pretty safe. Yeah, it's a good move, definitely. Even if it's just for the case of the worry, you know, if you're one of those people who worry, you know, if I left the oven on, all that kind of stuff, you know, it's all just done. One just done.
I come back to the shop at least when I get home and I'm walking the dogs. I'm kind of like recapping everything. I think to myself,
yeah,
did I leave the compressor on, and is it going to like be loud all night long? And I've always, if I even have a littlest of doubt, I always say, Hill, I got to go back to the shop. He goes, what'd you forget now? It's like every other week at once at least. And a lot of times I didn't do it, And I think to myself, you are so, you know, the worst was we had the wall. Sometimes for some reason, this fucking town, they futz around with the water so much that like there won't be water for like a day. And then I'll turn the water on, not knowing and thinking to myself, which way did I turn it? Is it on or off?
If it's going to shoot out.
And I'm thinking to myself and I'm panicked because I'm like, if the water turns on and I have left it on, then I'm going to fill the whole basin up and maybe it'll just, you know, maybe the drain won't be. So I ran back and there, as soon as I ran back, the water was on. I left the water on and I was lucky that, you know, it just started back up. But I hate running back to the shop. I do it all the time.
Yeah. Haven't you just got like a master, like, well, as I'm talking about, like a master switch, but you must have like a circuit board, you know, a fuse board.
I do, but I have there are other things going on, and I have to turn off all the switches in my shop. It's like I go around and I got like 10 switches. That's hit this and then hit that and then hit this and then that. I'm just like, oh, Jesus Christ! And it's but at the same time, it's like I'm always panicked and I come running back. It's just my upbringing. The last one is from Knives by Nuge, and he says, here's some unsolicited advice. Don't listen to the tip about checking a firearm. Don't listen to the tip about checking a firearm in your bag when flying. United misplaced my bag, and now they're planning on FedExing a gun to my Airbnb. Apparently, they're unaware that it's illegal to ship a gun to a private residence. Unrelated question, is 10 a.m. too early to start drinking? So, I guess, you know, when you're flying with your firearms, you probably want to be careful. I don't know what else to say. I mean, that's probably the tip of the day, you know.
Yeah. Let's move on. So,
well, we have listener feedback. We have hot takes, whatever you want. And let's food and the after show. I have a bit that I think you might enjoy.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay, let's do a hot take. But first of all, I want to tell everybody about Dharma Steel. They've been sponsoring the show for a long time. Every year we do the Dharma Steel Chef Invitational, which is like it's almost like an award ceremony that they do. But rather than, you know, bring praise on the winner, it's more about highlighting the makers, really. So they have a bunch of makers, and they make these beautiful, beautiful knives, which they then submit into various categories. It's always, always a good event. So we love Dharma Steel. We like working with them. They're great people. But their steel itself is fantastic. If you take a look at Dharma Steel Lab on Instagram, you'll see the kind of stuff people are making. They're usually, you know, special one-off pieces, all that kind of stuff. Beautiful, beautiful patterns that they do. It's a stainless Damascus. Dharmasteel.se is where you go to order it. If you register and you use the promo code KNIFETALK, you'll get 10% off your order with them. But go take a look. If you're looking for that something special, whether it's for a special customer or for a special piece, Dharma Steel is the stuff to use. It's the it's beautiful, beautiful stuff. Dharmasteel.se, go take a look. And they do pants. There we go.
I hope they send me a pair.
That should be their strap line. And we do
I'm
pants.
Down to 36 waist. Better send me a pair. I mean, I'm thin now. I'm a 205. I'm ready. I'm a light heavyweight now. Okay, hot takes, guys. Hot takes are a deliberate piece of provocative commentary. You know, it's basically, blah, blah, blah. You understand what a hot take is. And if you go to follow us on Instagram, Knife Talk Podcast on Instagram, you can send us your hot takes, your unsolicited advice, your listener feedback, your questions, where to answer. So I got five of them. We'll kind of run through them. Drew Lininger says, here's a hot take. Doing a belt finish on a fancy Damascus or San Mai and being able to clearly see the belt lines or not doing a good guard fit and leaving it rough isn't cool or a style. It's shoddy work done by people with not enough work ethic to do a good job. All right. Well, you know, that's it. He said what he said. That's a hot take.
I agree.
I mean, that's what a hot take is. Don't be defensive. That's a hot take. All right. Paul Jansen said, here's a hot take. Just because something is unique doesn't mean it's valuable. Some things are limited for a reason. Also, love the bit on the law of averages. Play stupid games and win a stupid prize. So last week, the week before, I was saying that when people behave poorly, you don't get, it's not karma, but it's the law of averages.
Yeah.
So, our friend Henry Hyde. Henry Hyde. Hyde Handmaid says, here's a hot take for the week. Relevant to the most recent show when someone says that chicken wings are the worst cut of meat. You can tell if a person prioritizes pleasing their partners by how they eat their chicken wings. Anyone who says wings are too fussy, like silent missionary.
Wings are the best. I've got wings tonight. Again, I'm looking forward to it. They're the king of all meats. They're fussy, obviously. But
I don't know if they'd say the king of meats. I think it's pound for pound. They're the pound for pound best bang for your buck.
Oh, without a doubt. They're very cheap. Very cheap, yeah. But I, personally, I think they're the king of meats. I mean, you could buy a pack of wings and you could split it into, you know, three different sort of flavors. And don't
get horned up.
I'm excited. Please, I cannot handle.
I've been watching, you know, before I was waiting for my family to get ready, so I take them to the airport, and I'm watching all these on Instagram, these reels. People are getting so fucking horned up with the food, and that this blur, this blur between sex and food is grotesque. It's so disgusting. You see these guys picking up their fucking glistening steak that's thick, and they're making these moaning noises. It's like, fucking get over yourself. You disgust me.
Yeah.
I think that food and this whole food porn thing, it's really grotesque.
Yeah. No, I do agree, but
you get fucking horny when you talk about food.
Huge pleasure in food. I know. But, you know, it's a different kind of pleasure to other
pleasures.
Yeah,
but it's close. Yeah. It's not that much different, dude. I mean, you are on the cusp of Jeff, I got to go right now.
No matter how good the food is, it's never got me hard. That's what I'm saying.
You know, when you motherfuckers talk about food, it's hard. You get all horned up. I mean, seriously, you should hurt yourself talking about the pork belly, man. You were like, I could hear you like salivating. It was just like, I was getting uncomfortable. I'm like thinking to myself, like, Jesus Christ, what is going on here? It's like some like Playboy radio all of a sudden. Hey, let's talk about the meat. John Marston says, here's a hot take. Your crazy making folders isn't addictive. I can quit any. You're crazy making folders isn't addictive. I can quit anytime I want. I'm just not ready now. I would love. You know who's making folders now that I'm fucking in love with is Matt White. Is it Matt White? Let me make sure I'm getting it. He makes.
I don't know him.
I'm gonna make sure I'm making it right. Matt. Yeah, Matt White _ TMW. He's known for making really amazing carving spoons and folders. So on Instagram, Matt White _ TMW. He makes, carving spoons and stuff. And like the traditional Sloyd knives and those, you know, for spoon carving and stuff. And he started doing these folding knives for carving. I cannot stop looking at them. And I actually mentioned to him, I'm like, when you're ready to take orders, I'm all in. You know, I'm all in. So, but I can imagine making folders is very addictive. Making the friction folders is so much goddamn fun. It's just like, there's no waiting for glue to dry. It's the best.
Hmm. You know, I just looked him up as well. Ekim Knives. His name's Mike, and Mike backwards is Ekim. I remember when I first started making knives, and particularly looking into starting to make folders, his videos were like, they were everything, you know, looking at all his, and, you know, I sort of followed his journey from, you know, him making his first knife, and it's all on YouTube up until now. And I'm just thinking, I haven't heard from him for so, so long, and I'm looking now, it's 4 years since his last video, and I don't think I see anything of Instagram either. I don't know his name.
Ekim Knives?
It's just Ekim Knives, yeah, yeah. I don't know. I just hope he's good, actually.
Just because somebody's not on Instagram doesn't mean they're dead. I mean,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I haven't seen my uncle on Instagram for 12 years.
Oh, I hate to tell you this. No, I'm just.
I'm going to fucking hell. I'm going to hell. It's worth it.
His name just came to me then when you were talking about folding knives. I was thinking, I wonder what's happened to that guy. And yeah, he hasn't. Yeah, so I'm just saying, if you're listening, Mike, I hope you're well, because
you ain't listening.
Your videos were a big sort of inspiration to me, and yeah, you're a good dude.
All right. Sending our best to E. Kim Knives. And the last hot take is anonymous. Ooh. Anonymous. And it says, no matter what clever quote you find or T-shirt you buy and wear with pride, never forget that you didn't come up with it. You weren't original enough, and no one really thinks you are smart enough to be so irreverent.
I like it.
It's true, dude. Like people buy T-shirts. People buy T-shirts, and it's as if when they're wearing the T-shirt that somehow, instead of them purchasing something from someone, it's as if they're making people think that this was made by them.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious because it's just like, I don't think you're smart enough to come up with something like this, to be honest with you, but people do. Same thing with the fucking memes. People just grabbing memes and then they're putting them up as their own. And it's hilarious. So congratulations, Anonymous.
They're joining a tribe, aren't they?
Some
they're
tribe.
Finding their people.
Some tribe.
Yeah. Talking about T-shirts, I'm in the T-shirt business.
Are you?
So our band, we put up T-shirts this week, and like for ages with Knife Talk, people said, do T-shirts again. I'm like, it was such a fucking headache, such a headache. But I found a new company that do it really well, the whole dropshipping thing, so they'll handle everything. But they've been really good, and we sold 41 T-shirts this week.
Really?
As the band.
So yeah, where do so we get the Uplift T-shirts?
Uplift.band.
Are we going to – is this mean that maybe there'll be Knife Talk T-shirts?
Well, I'm thinking literally it's no stress for me. We just put the design. They handle everything. They handle the shipping, all the customer service. They do literally everything. Whereas before the other company promised that to us, but they were shit.
Should we? This is big news. We're going to do T-shirts.
This
again?
Is big news. We could do Knife Talk T-shirts again without us having to really do anything.
Do you want to do? Do you want to do the original? Now we have a really interesting conversation. Do you want to do the original one, or do you want to do a new one, or do you want to draw something up, or?
What do you think? I don't know. This is an after-show conversation.
Don't ask the listener.
No, that's what I'm saying. Let's not ask them. We'll put stuff up there. If they want it, they can have it. But let's not take recommendations.
I mean, the original Knife Talk T-shirt is good with the logo. But I liked it.
Yeah.
The one I drew that the best-looking man in knife making, Steve Pellegrino, wears. And it's
with the
hand pick. It was the hand pick. That was a good T-shirt because it was really
that was
like...
a good one, yeah.
I think maybe that T-shirt should come back.
Yeah, but maybe we'll do that in like a limited color, so it's not so people who've got the original, they're the OGs,
right.
You know. Make them.
I mean, I hate merch, and the only reason why I hate it is because it's a fucking pain in the ass.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, well, I found this company. They're called Spod, and they handle everything.
And they do international.
International, and I know people who ordered on Tuesday and they got them on Thursday, which is
dude,
like,
the last
great.
One. It would be months or dinner.
I spent most of my time not preparing for this show, but just trying to sort out people's orders, and it was fucking terrible. Terrible. So yeah, I mean, you know, there's no money in T-shirts, but if people want T-shirts, that we can do
I'm
them.
I'm totally easy. For yeah. T-shirts. Oh, here we are, Uplift.band. Cool. Look at you. Look at you one leg up, and you're singing that microphone. You got picks all over the place. God damn, look at you. You got gigs all over the place. Merchandise.
We've got very few coming up, but we've...
I like your merchandising. Let's just talk about the merchandising guy. Let's just talk about the T-shirt sample guy.
So sample guy, yeah.
If you go to uplift.band and you go down to merchandise, there's this dude who... I don't know what happened to him, shoulders... But his arms...
He looks like a knife maker to me.
He doesn't look... He looks like he might have
sleeve.
Some sort of spina bifida or something. He got something up with his chest or something's going on with him, you know? I mean, he looks tough and all, but something's drastically wrong. But, I mean, God bless him. I mean, it doesn't even look like his hand is really in his... It looks like his hand is photoshopped into his pocket.
Yeah,
maybe he doesn't have fingers.
It doesn't
maybe
look quite
is,
right.
Maybe it's a whole thing. Yeah. I don't know. Funny, I gotta get one of them shirts though.
Let's do
T-shirts again.
Let's wrap up. Get to an after show. What else can we do before?
Well,
we finish?
We have a little listener feedback.
Okay.
Oh, here's a nice listener feedback. This one's from Dawson Kennelly. Dawson Kennelly says, not a question, hot take, dilemma, or community showcase, but I wanted to thank you guys for doing the podcast. I've learned a lot and laughed a lot listening to you guys yammer on about knives or whatever else is happening in the world. Thanks. I did want to say shout out to our friend and listener, J-Mod Knives. A number of he's been sending in questions. He's a skateboarder and a knife maker, and a couple episodes ago, he talked about how do I drop an anvil off a 12-foot vert ramp.
Yeah, did he make the
video? I don't know if he made a video about that, but he took this, and I put it on the Instagram, the Knife Talk Instagram. They took an awesome picture of him going up the ramp and like doing like a skateboarding off the anvil. It's an awesome picture, and he actually has skateboard decks for sale, and I actually bought one. They're knife-making skateboards. So J-Mod Knives is the man, and he's a cool dude, man. He's a great skateboarder. He does great videos, does fun knives, and he's one of the more interesting characters in the knife-making community. So J-Mod Knives, congratulations on your new skateboard deck, and the pictures are dynamite. They're really fucking cool.
Cool.
Yeah, if you want to finish that off here and we could go into the after show, I got some good shit for you.
Shall we? Okay, well, listen, thank you all. We talk about this every week, but without the listeners, we wouldn't be anything because we try to sort of, we don't just, you know, broadcast a show. We try to, you know, get the listener involved, and most of the content that we have is generated by the listener. So we seriously do mean it when we say thank you for listening and for contributing. And that's it for now. We shall see you next week. Bye for now.
Was that the? Now it's just tapping
that's
on the door.
Fastest one
now
ever.
Now it's just tapping on the mic.
I'm actually pressing the button, but I need to tap it fast. So there we go.
We used to have an outro, and then it gets slower and slower and slower. And now it's just like a tap. Now the show's over, guys. You're in the after show now. That's
show's
the best.
Over. Anything goes.
That might be one of my favorite things. Is the transformation of the lackadaisical quality of the transition between the show and the after show.
But physiologically, it's very different from now. I'm now slumped a bit. I maybe have undone my belt a little bit. I've got my drink in my. I feel different. We've done all the sponsors. I can chill out a bit.
Well. I was supposed to have Tony, my business partner Tony, was going to come on this coming week, and he couldn't make it. So I actually was going to do Full Blast with him, and we were going to talk about food stuff. So I found all these food articles, and I thought, well, maybe I'll save it for somebody else. And I thought, well, Craig's here. He likes to talk food. He gets all horned up about food. So I can read to you, and you decide what you want to do. This one's interesting for Tony, might not be interesting for you. The 12 food trends that will explode in popularity this year. That's one thing you could do.
Let's do that because they're always fucking shitty. You know,
well, it's going to be
croissant,
more
croissant being something else this year or whatever.
It's going to be more. It isn't fun. It's more like industry shit. Like kombucha, okay. Kombucha and mushrooms and shit. It's for you, I don't think it's going to be that interesting. This one's better. This one is 8 popular food combos on TikTok that you need to try ASAP.
That is such a fucking thing to say. On TikTok, you must try ASAP. Right.
This is one thing that people are trying. It's watermelon and yellow mustard. Have you heard about that?
Oh, no.
That's a thing.
No.
Since content creator blah 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 shared this unexpected snack, fruit lovers everywhere have been giving watermelon with a drizzle of yellow mustard a try. He claims it's tangy, vinegary, and has the mustard complements that the melon's natural sweetness seamlessly. Lizzo, on the other hand, tried it and decided that a sprinkle of tahine was a tastier root, and he didn't go back from that. The verdict is it's weird. Okay.
Yeah. No, I can't see that working.
Okay, here's another one.
I know there's this whole thing about having, you know, sharp and sweet and salt and all, put everything together, but it needs to fucking work as well.
I tell you something that the New York Times had on years ago that my mother tried and told me I got to try it, and I thought, this sounds disgusting, and it's fantastic, is you know how you like peanut butter and jelly? You substitute the jelly for sweet pickles. And
yeah, I can sort of see that.
It doesn't taste as sweet as you think. And I hate sweet pickles. I think sweet pickles are abomination. I hate them. I think everything about sweet pickles are dumb. They're not good. I tried it, and it becomes a peanut butter and jelly, but the jelly is a very mild cucumber flavor. Something happens with the sugar and everything like that and the peanut butter. So peanut butter and sweet pickles is shockingly good. Shockingly good.
Nice. We've been giving the kids peanut butter with apples. You know,
oh, yeah, sure.
The peanut butter, the apple. That's freaking brilliant. I love it.
Here's what another thing on TikTok is pickles in Kool-Aid. If you're from Mississippi, Kool-Aid infused pickles are a convenience store staple.
I don't know what Kool-Aid is. I know
Kool-Aid
the,
is like
the phrase,
one of them
drinking the Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid is. You know what Kool-Aid is?
No, I've never tasted that.
It's like it's a powder that you add water and sugar to, and it makes like a drink. You buy my packets, and then you just
we don't get them here.
I'm sure you have something similar.
I know of the phrase. No,
don't have any kind of like beverages that start off as a powder and then you add it to water.
Not really.
You're telling me Europe, nobody's adding fucking powder to water to make a drink?
It's not a thing, no. No, maybe if it's for medicinal purpose, you get some sort of, you know, some sort of medicines like that. But
do you not
have
iced tea in Europe?
We have iced tea.
Sweet tea.
In bottles.
And it's not like in a container of that you can like take a scoop out and you scoop out the stuff and you...
God, no. No.
I have to stop the whole show. Because you're telling me
cultural differences.
You're telling me that there are no powdered beverages in Europe or the UK.
I'm telling you,
crazy.
The only ones that I think of now are a hot chocolate, hot drinks. Obviously, you know, instant coffees, that kind of thing. Like the protein drinks people use, you know, and all that.
But
kind
not
of
like
stuff.
That shit. I'm but talking not, about like iced tea or lemonade or. Jesus
no,
Christ.
No, definitely not.
Maybe that's why you guys aren't so obese. I mean, maybe that's why the obesity rate, because we've been grazed on like Americans are nodding their head. My dad used to buy big cartons of Country Time lemonade, and you'd get it regular yellow flavored and you'd get it pink flavored. And there'd be a scoop inside. And when you opened up the top, there'd be this like waft of
that's
sweet
like baby
dust.
Milk.
No, not for fucking babies. Oh, this is for regular people, not for babies.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But it comes like baby milk with a scoop in it.
You open the top and this waft of like powdered sweet dust goes up your nose. And then you take a couple scoops and put it in a pitcher and fill it with water and ice. And then you make a nice cold beverage because your family's too cheap to buy containers of it. Actually, it's probably better for the environment, but.
So it's like a sherbet.
No, fucking sherbet. What's it? You mean ice cream? Not ice cream. It's powdered drinks.
Oh, fuck. We're going way off track here. Sherbet's very different to an ice cream. But
sherbet.
Sherbet to us is almost like a flavored sugar that you eat.
It's called sherbet?
It erodes your teeth. Sherbet, yeah. Sherbet.
Okay. Let's just.
And it's normally really sharp. It's
and you
like
stick your finger in it and then you shove it in your mouth?
Or sometimes with a licorice stick.
What the fuck?
We're talking different
what
ends of spectrums
here. What
the
fuck are you doing? What the fuck? You're fucking sticking licorice sticks in powdered sugar and eating it? Well, because the licorice isn't sweet enough?
Well, no, you use that almost as a spoon.
Jesus Christ.
Because it sticks to the sherbet, so you can eat it. And then at the end, you just eat the sherbet. So as well as corroding your teeth, they go black at the very end, which is, you know.
So sherbet is powdered sugar treat?
Yeah, but it's almost more finer, more of a dust normally. But yeah, it's basically pure sugar with a really sharp, normally a citrus sort of twang.
I would suggest that the people who buy sherbet put a little water in there. Make a drink. Make a fucking drink.
Okay.
You got that's Kool-Aid. There you go. That's Kool-Aid. Sherbet.
There we go.
Sherbet. It's not sure. We all call it sherbet. It's sherbet. Sherbet is a type of ice cream that derived from the Middle East, believe it or not. And it was a fruit-flavored, like, gelato. Not gelato. It was a fruit-flavored ice that was added with cream. So it made it more... Sherbet is more like... It's not ice cream. It's more like a dairy-flavored fruit frozen dessert. is a little bit different between sherbet and ice cream. But that's what we know of a sherbet. All right, so who gives a shit about fucking pickles and Kool-Aid?
We've just made the Atlantic that little bit smaller. Okay.
Flaming hot Cheetos and ranch dressing mixed together. Who cares?
Yeah, I could see that working, yeah.
Cucumbers and sugar. All right, we just went over that. Bell pepper sandwich filling. Bell pepper plus sandwich filling. So using... That's a fucking trend that is annoying. Have you ever seen these things? That these people think that they're getting away from low carbs by using a pickle as bread. It's the dumbest thing of all time. That's number five. Yeah. Get out of here. Okay, here's another one. Tomato and chocolate. It's one pregnancy craving that TikTokers taste again and again. They've tried Hershey milk chocolate. Many creators use dark chocolate instead. Final verdict. Hear us out. It's weirdly good, but barely. Like, could we eat this? Yes. Would we rather just eat chocolate by itself? Absolutely. However, we're betting sun-dried tomatoes with chocolate taste better since they're having contrasting tart flavors.
Neither. I've got a thing with tomatoes where... like tomato sauces, you know, a cooked down tomato is great, but a raw tomato, which I know some people love, and you know, I love the smell of them, you know, when they're from a greenhouse and they're fresh. I love that. But to me, they just taste soapy, and that's a thing. Apparently, there's like about, you know, about 5% of people who there's certain chemicals in the tomato. It just tastes like soap, and it does. A raw tomato to me is just soapy in the mouth.
What about cilantro, or you probably call it coriander?
Coriander, yeah, similar, yeah, very similar. Actually, it's not my thing. Yeah,
I didn't.
But again, cooked in something. Once it's cooked and the enzymes break down and stuff, it's fine. But when they're raw, it's that soapy.
Well, for me, it was always the kind of like soft juiciness that I didn't like. It was just kind of like a very very overripened cantaloupe. There's something about the kind of like the biting in. I grew to like them, and now we like them a lot, raw with salt and onions and stuff.
Yeah, and I do love that smell, you know, of a fresh tomato.
I like, when I walk past our tomato plants, I like to grab a leaf and rub my fingers on the leaf and smell that. Oh, that smells good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, peanut butter and hot dogs.
No, fuck no.
You truly won't believe how well these flavors go together until you try them. Peanut butter melts, Reese's peanut butter cups and pickles. Selena Gomez is obsessed with pickles. That's that. All right, well.
Talking about being obsessed and Selena Gomez, I don't understand Selena Gomez.
What do you mean?
I don't think she's talented as... I don't mean to shame people here, right? I don't think there's many Selena Gomez fans listening to this show. But I've got a thing where I don't think she's a good actress. I don't think she's a good singer. And she's got a weird fat face.
Whoa, look at you.
I know. I'm just saying. I don't understand the...
But she's not for you.
People's obsession with
but
Selena Gomez.
But she isn't
Gomez.
For you, then.
She's not for me.
I mean,
no, you're right.
I could say the same thing about Celine Dion. I never understood that. Never, not once. I never understood her at all. Something about her, I just couldn't get it. But, you know, and I just...
Yeah. Is she French? Is she Canadian? Is she Swiss?
I chalked it up to just not for me. It's not for me. Yeah, now, I'm going to give you some other options. We could do the most overrated sandwiches in America, which might be fun.
Okay. Let's do that one quickly. I need to be gone in 11 minutes.
Okay.
Because there's Glastonbury is on the TV.
Okay, I'm going to read from seventh to worst the most overrated flavors. The most overrated sandwiches in the United States. Subway sandwiches. I don't think you have Subway. Subway is...
We do.
Oh, yeah. Overrated, number seven.
That meatball marinara, though, if you're stuck, it's not bad.
It's fucking bad, dude. It's fucking bad. I did used to eat their veggie burgers, and I thought they were actually really good. White Castle burgers. I mean, you don't have White Castle, right?
No, we don't.
Actually, White Castle gave me the worst diarrhea I've ever had in my life.
Oh, jeez.
We were buying, my wife and I bought our first new car when we were first together. It was like this big event for us. We had to go to the Bronx to get it. And it was like our first big purchase.
Was it a stolen car?
What?
Was it a stolen car?
No, it was
car.
A fucking,
put the Bronx
no,
together.
A fucking stolen car. We got a Volkswagen. And it was our first, like, big purchase as a couple, and we went to, let's celebrate. Let's go to, have you ever been to White Castle? Let's go to White Castle. And they make sliders, these little tiny hamburgers. And they're cooked in onions and they're steamed buns. And we ate a pile of them and they tasted great. And I was just like, I have got to go to the bathroom now. number five is any sandwich with French fries in it. Do you know about this thing?
Oh, yeah. Over here, burgers over here are fucking terrible. And they always do an Americana burger. And basically, that's a burger with French fries on top. Fucking terrible.
Well, there's a place, I'm reading this, there's a place called in Pittsburgh called Primanti Brothers. And they put French fries on their sandwiches, and every single one of their sandwiches can come up with French fries on top. They go an extra mile to put a skip together. Okay, so any sandwich with French fries on it. The McDonald's McRib is number four. Have you ever had that?
I don't. They do, well, over here, they don't do them anymore, but maybe for 10 years I haven't had one.
I fucking love. When I was a kid, New York for years was the worst. You couldn't get barbecue at all. Like we didn't know what good barbecue was. So when the McRib came out, we're like, this is fucking awesome. Number three is the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. Overrated. Super duper overrated. Number two is po' boys. You know what a po' boy is? Po' boy is a Louisiana.
It sounds Korean, does it?
Excuse me.
Is it Korean? Oh, no. I don't know that.
No, a po' boy is from New Orleans, and it's basically what they made these sandwiches for people, and it was like mostly bread and mayonnaise and lettuce and tomato with some fried shit in it, and it was like to stretch out, like they were made for po' boys, so people who didn't have a lot of money could afford the sandwich.
Po' boys, okay, gotcha.
And they're overrated. The number one overrated sandwich by this article is the Philly cheesesteak. Philly cheesesteak is considered the number one most overrated sandwich.
It's like anything else. It's subjective, and it depends where you get them. I bet there's great Philly cheesesteaks and steaks, not cheesecakes. And I bet there's fucking terribly shitty ones. You know,
I waited in line probably 2 hours for a Philly cheesesteak, and it was fine. I mean, I wouldn't do it again. I wouldn't wait in line again for it. And, you know, but there we are. So don't call me Philly. It wasn't my fault. I voted for roast pork and broccoli rabe. That's supposed to be number one.
Roast pork and broccoli.
That's it. No, broccoli rabe. Broccoli rabe is a broccoli that's a little bit bitter. And there's this sandwich called roast pork. There's a famous place called Denick's in Philly, and they do a roast pork. And then they'll cut the roast pork up and put it on the sandwich with broccoli rabe and provolone cheese. And that's from the Philly guys. A lot of Philly guys say that's the real Philly sandwich. So.
Nice. And on that bombshell,
I tried. Everybody. They can't all be winners. I mean, Lord have mercy.
No, that was good. That was good. A lot of them I just didn't understand because
I just can't believe you guys didn't have any. I mean, I would think that some people in the UK that don't have a lot of dough, get yourself a couple bags of powdered drink and make some drinks.
Powdered drink. it does. I mean, ecologically, it makes a lot of sense.
Well, the sugar. You never follow the directions, and you're always making it way sweeter. I mean, like for soccer camp, they used to make bug juice, and they would have like gallons of it, and they would just like put like cups of it in and fill it with the water from the garden hose, and then they could feed it. We could make enough drink for everybody.
We have like squash. They call it squash, which is basically like a sugary syrup. And it's, you know, then you dilute that in water. So it would be a bottle of a liquid and you'd put maybe, 5% in the bottom of a glass and the rest would be water and that would mix. But we don't have it in powder form.
Squash. No. And what does it taste like?
Squash. You get like an orange flavor or, a summer fruits or a blackcurrant flavor.
How did our cultures split so far apart from each other?
I know.
That we're like, we're shocked at the different things that we each do. Like,
yeah.
Why wouldn't they say, hey, the Americans are making powdered drink. Let's make some powdered drink. Or we're saying, why don't we make some of that squash? We don't do it. We don't do that. We do our own thing. It's so annoying.
We're worlds apart, Jeff. Worlds apart. Thank you all very much for listening. We shall speak to you again next. And I think Mareko's back next week too. So we'll have Tales from Bear Country from Mareko. And we hope you all have a good, positive week. Bye for now.
This show is brought to you by The Makery, the podcast network for makers.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.